Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Thursday, June 29th. I'm Matt Harmon, coming to you for the final Flip the Script series episode here that we've been doing in June. And joining me to do that is the one and only Andy Behrens. Andy, as you'll notice, after you said that the condo stuff had been so great for the podcast, I thought, you know what, I'll stick it out here for another week just because I know Andy loves looking at this beautiful background of doors right here. So how you doing, buddy? I know you got after it a little bit last night, so I appreciate you, appreciate you doing the podcast here, man. What's going on?
I'm good. I feel like the condo sessions are going to go down as if not like the peak of this podcast. They are certainly we've leveled up in a way that I don't know if anybody saw it coming. But it's been great. The doors have been great. People love the doors. Yeah,
a lot of buzz.
Love everything about it. They actually remind me very much like when I'm on the road in Florida at my in-laws. Those are the doors. That is my background.
Yeah.
So it is a shame that I haven't been able to mirror that for you.
That would have been great, especially because the company's like, yeah, let's put our shows on YouTube now. What they definitely want is us two bozos with like just white door backgrounds. That would be
the
awesome.
Most sure. Standard, no. Like Lowe's, Home Depot closet doors of all time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure nobody that works at the company would have any thoughts on the doors being the background. I'm sure it would just be totally cool. No problem there. Brett loves it. Everybody loves it. Colin loves it. All the producers love it. I'm sure that would go over well. But yeah, no, this will be the last time I'm coming to you from the condo, though, Andy. I mean, as much as I value your opinion, you know, I value my friend's opinion. I'm gonna go ahead and move into the house after today. Like this is everything is actually out of the condo. All of our stuff is out of the condo except the podcast setup. So that's the very last thing I'll do.
I just want to be like a box set available of the condo sessions. That's all. That's all I want.
Let me say this: if our podcast has peaked on June 29th, our football fantasy football podcast has peaked in June. It's going to be a tough year. It's going to be a tough year for Yahoo. I'll tell you that. But
I feel
it
peaked specifically with the Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith episode, actually.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here. You know, Andy loves talking about bad players. Unfortunately, that's not what we're going to do here today. Like I mentioned, this is the final, very last Flip the Script episode. We've got a great topic to talk about, mostly good players today. Sorry about that, Andy. But before we get to that, just a little programming note, like I mentioned on the last podcast, we're going to be off for the 4th of July holiday. There's going to be no shows next week. I'm not working. Andy's not working. Nobody else is having to work on this podcast, and you all aren't going to have to do any work listening to it, okay? Do what you got to do on 4th of July weekend to unplug for a little bit. Go touch some grass. Go grill some stuff. Maybe pop some tops here and there. It's going to be fun. Enjoy that. Then going forward, when we come back in July, we're just going to be doing one show per week starting the week of July 10th before we go up to 5 days a week starting in August. Oh boy, Andy, 5 days a week. I can't wait for that. I mean, literally, actually, I can't wait. It's going to be really fun once training camp gets kicked off here. So again, be sure to check out our July shows. We're going to do kind of like a countdown to training camp. You know, we're going to talk about all the news you missed while we've been yapping about the Flip the Script series. We're going to preview the positions. Yeah, all the typical stuff. It's going to be awesome. And we have big, big, big plans for August that we can't quite debut just yet. But get excited about that. Again, I don't know about you, Andy, but it does always kind of feel like once July 4th happens, the clock really starts ticking down to football season. And basically, you know, we've got maybe like a week or two after 4th of July before we have to wave goodbye to all of our loved ones. That goes for us that work in the industry, you that play fantasy. Goodbye, friends. Goodbye, family. Goodbye, you know, dogs and cats and whatever, wives, husbands, partners, children, whatever. It's all football all the time, basically, like once August gets here.
Yeah, we really have to get through that. There's that one sort of dead week where like the MLB All-Star game has happened and like maybe NBA Summer League is starting, but like the freaking ESPYs are the only thing that's going on in the sports calendar, right? There's absolutely nothing. But then all of a sudden training camps hit and then it's just there's random stuff to talk about every day. Every beat reporter is putting out propaganda about this player or that player, right? And we have to react to things nonstop, and that's We're so close.
We are so close to that highlight season from training camp. Although it's been basically
quad season.
Dude, mini camps though. Yeah, quad. Mini camps were on fire this year. Mini camps were on fire. It's like this receiver does the slightest shake of his hips to get open versus nobody covering him, and you know that. Have you seen that meme, Andy? It's like, there's always somebody on Twitter arguing with no one, like, oh, I was told Steph Curry's not a good shooter or whatever it is. And that's definitely like peak fantasy analyst, like needs to log off in minicamp when you're like, you know, sharing the videos from, I mean, look, I love Drake London, but like Drake London, you know, doing something in minicamp, like, oh, I was told Drake London couldn't separate or it's like, no, stop. Log off. Okay, so I'm actually kind of looking forward to that 1 week where we don't have any like content to take in, but of course, Andy, that's probably gonna be the week that like DeAndre Hopkins signs and Dalvin Cook signs, just to keep us super busy. So anyways, enough nonsense. Nobody wants to hear about this. The people want to hear the very last Flip the Script episode. If you've missed it, for the month of June we have been going back and looking at the biggest surprises from last season and trying to predict who are going to be the biggest surprises of this season. This podcast is all about trying to identify who is this year's Jalen Hurts. This one's kind of interesting, Andy, so much so that we sort of had to kind of clarify a few things on the email thread for the show of like, what are we talking about here when we're talking about this year's Jalen Hurts? Because we can certainly sit here and talk about, you know, potential breakout quarterbacks, but I would say this is mostly like, we're looking for the non-established elite players in fantasy that could end up being like legitimate league winners. We always talk about, oh, this guy's a league winner, whatever, when you pick him up off the waiver wire. And, you know, you and I talked a lot last season about how that's not really always the case. Like, you know, what is a league winner? For one, it's not something we need to, it's not a definition we need to fight about. Again, go outside. But really, I think this is just a player that's going to have a case for being like the fantasy MVP, the true league winner by the end of the year. Because that was certainly Jalen Hurts last year. And I think before we talk about our candidates for this year's honor, let's kind of go into like, how did Jalen Hurts happen last year? It wasn't something that was totally out of nowhere, Andy, but he certainly did surprise a lot of people, probably more so in real life than in fantasy.
Oh yeah, that's a key distinction and a key point to make too, right? Because I feel like going into last year, there was just no disagreement about whether Jalen Hurts was going to be a great fantasy play. He clearly was, right? Like, no question about it, zero doubt. He already had been. He'd basically been a top 10 quarterback. I forget exactly where he finished in 2021, but it was really good. And he did that while having, you know, like it wasn't a perfect watch throughout the season, right? Like, he sailed a bunch of throws. He had some really rough games as a passer. The receiving core was not obviously what it was after the AJ Brown deal. And then the combination of, you know, the, you know, it's a single upgrade, right, at receiver, but they add one of the best and most dynamic receiving talents in the game. There's continuity elsewhere. Hurts himself makes obvious improvements as a passer. So he, like, again, no question he was going to come into last year, and he, in everybody's ranks, he was somewhere between like QB4 and like QB7 or 8, right? So nobody was down on Hurts. Nobody was like hating on Hurts exactly. But he'd also just come through this period in real life where, like, you know, the Eagles were pretty interested in Deshaun Watson. And, you know, Hurts would miss a few throws and people would start talking about Gardner Minshew, right? Like, there was some legitimate real life doubt about Jalen Hurts. Again, none whatsoever about him as a fantasy contributor, but legit real life doubt about him. And he silenced it just emphatically last year. Like, wasn't just a great rushing quarterback with some passing stats. He was is absolutely fantastic. Improved in every meaningful area. Played a near flawless Super Bowl, right? Like, was just in the biggest moments. He was absolutely tremendous. So, enormous leap forward by him. The sort of thing, and it, you know, I almost hate that it feels like there's a story like this every year, right? Because in the sort of long sweep of NFL history, there's really not like a Josh Allen breakout, Lamar Jackson breakout, Jalen Hurts breakout every year. There's been this little cluster of them, but we shouldn't count on this happening every season.
Right. It may not happen to that degree. I do think we've seen this is the hardest part about the Jalen Hurts thing. And you're right to say that there was some anticipation that Jalen Hurts was going to be a really good fantasy quarterback, bare minimum. He was QB9 in 2021. on the back mostly of scoring 10 rushing touchdowns and running for 784 yards in 15 games. As a passer, you know, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 7.3. That's fine, but, you know, whatever, yards per attempt. But people knew he was going to be a good fantasy quarterback. But and I think drafters have gotten sharper about that, right? Like, because when I remember when Lamar Jackson was going to start for the Ravens in his second season, he was still gettable in like the double digit rounds. He was a guy that was, you know, QB12 in ADP or rankings or whatever. It's like, yo, if this guy's just like not an embarrassment as a passer, he's gonna smash in fantasy. And he did. He obviously did. He was a real life MVP as well. I think Jalen Hurts would have had a case to be the MVP last year if, one, Patrick Mahomes didn't exist, and two, he didn't get hurt towards the end of the season. So we do see these things happen a lot. In Josh Allen, same thing. Like, people were kind of in on that. But I was looking back because, you know, I always think about this tweet I sent when A.J. Brown was traded to the Eagles on draft night. I said, A.J. Brown has the ability to be a legit top five NFL wide receiver, 100% worth the trade, the contract, all of it. He and Devontae Smith are going to be an awesome tandem for the Eagles. And I mean, you just look at the replies to that tweet. And I know, like, Twitter, you know, whatever, but this was kind of more of a common sentiment. Problem is A.J. Brown. Now they just need to figure out how to get a jugs machine into a live game. Now they just need a quarterback. Too bad Jalen Hurts is his quarterback. Awesome duo. Too bad their quarterback stinks. Not worth it if you got a running quarterback. You know, I mean, this was sort of the public sentiment around Jalen Hurts was, you know, quarterback. He's a running back playing quarterback, can't throw, whatever. And, you know, you could still, I think you could definitely still pick some nits at Jalen Hurts as a passer. There are some areas where he can improve. Maybe he can even take another step this year. But it really does kind of go to show that, one, I think Hurts has always been an underrated player. You know, even coming into the draft, I think he was an underrated player for how he had improved each and every year as an individual talent. But also, it's the transformative effect of when you get like a legit top five wide receiver in the game to come and play offense for you. And it slots every, like you said, that receiver core was, I mean, Devontae Smith is a good player, but he was a rookie wide receiver. And then we're talking about, like, we bump out Jalen Reagor and we put in AJ Brown. You can't, there's not a bigger difference, you know? I mean, no offense to Jalen Reagor, but, like, I mean, it just is what it is. So I think that's part of kind of the case for the guy we're looking for this year. Maybe it doesn't have to be an individual's added here, but there's got to be some sort of like transformative effect for this player and their surroundings or whatever that has the ability to take them from an established, like, quality fantasy player. And I think even for Jalen Hurts, like a quality NFL quarterback prior to 2022 and making them somehow into a star. I think that's probably part of the equation here.
Yeah. I really resent that you've kind of forced me, like, we're only going to talk about good players today. And that is not my niche at all. That's not my comfort zone, as you mentioned, but I'm willing.
All right. Well, in that case, let's jump into the candidates here. Like I said, we don't have any super hard and fast parameters here, but I didn't take anybody that's going to be like a first round fantasy pick this year. Like, maybe some of these guys we're going to talk about have the ability to sneak in here, but these are all just like non-elite fantasy players that have the ability to jump and being an elite fantasy producer this year. And let's start at the quarterback position. We're not just going to do quarterbacks, by the way. I have some running backs. I have some wide receivers. And, you know, I don't really care who our finalist ends up being. We're going to just go with it. We're going to get down to three here. We're going to vote on it. And if there needs to be a tie broken, Colin's going to break the tie. You'll be really sad to know yesterday that Colin, or earlier this week, Andy, Colin did have to break the tie. And Dalton, 0-2 now in tiebreaker votes. So tough break for Dalton during our peak podcast moment.
Brutal.
But let's start with quarterbacks. And let's start with, I mean, you said you wanted to talk about only good players, Andy, and we do have Justin Fields on the list here. And I think Justin Fields is a good NFL player, but how good is Justin Fields going to be? I think when we're talking about this year's Jalen Hurts, he's going to be the guy that's going to get brought up kind of immediately, Andy. How willing are you to make the case for Justin Fields, who, as I mentioned, drafters are sharper about the whole mobility thing. We did see the guy run for 1,000 damn yards last year, but he is quarterback, consensus ranked quarterback 6. Right now is Justin Fields. And, you know, from an overall perspective, he's pretty up there too.
Yeah, this is the tidiest fit into the Jalen Hurts comparison, right? Because he's like Hurts last year. We're already drafting him at a spot where he kind of has to hit, right? Like, he has to stay healthy. Last year, Justin Fields was just all, you know, profit potential if you're as a fantasy manager. This year, like if you're taking him at QB six with, you know, the range in which QBs are going this year, that probably means you're taking him in like the fifth round, sixth round, right? You need 1,000 yards rushing, but he also fits the Jalen Hurts situation in that there has at least been a massive upgrade in the receiving core. I am not going to sit here and tell you that DJ Moore is AJ Brown. I don't think he is, but I do think he's probably a top 20 NFL receiver. And the Bears surely did not have a top 20 NFL receiver on the roster last year, right? So like in the same way that, you know, that, I mean, the replacing Jalen Reagor targets with like AJ Brown targets was the most dramatic, you know, sort of single position upgrade that anybody made last year. This is pretty close because we're taking targets that would have gone to like a lesser St. Brown or Dante Pettis or whatever, right? And we're giving them to DJ Moore, who is an absolute pro. Some, I will say that some of the local, you know, local beat writers who are around minicamp, who've been around the team, they would have told you, you know, a week ago that the absolute best moments from the Bears offense, like in the really early going in the summer months, were definitely Justin Fields to DJ Moore. Like that worked perfectly, and a lot of other stuff looked pretty rough and the timing seemed off, but Justin Fields to DJ Moore is already a thing, and if it's already a thing, it's definitely going to stay a thing. So I think that right there helps him. Upgrade to the offensive line absolutely helps him, right? Like the, I mean, Justin Fields took a zillion sacks last year, like 55 sacks on a team that was only attempting 22 passes a game is just the shocking numbers, right? Both directions, shocking numbers. That can't happen again. The line was a part of it. Fields is a part of it. So Fields has to get better as Hurts got better last year. But the line has certainly been upgraded. So that's a good thing. Is it a middle of the pack offensive line? Is it still a bottom third offensive line? I don't know, but it's better. So that's really helpful. The problem here is in terms of like a guy who can make a real life leap into an MVP conversation, like the Bears still have a long way to go, right? They've still got a whole defense to build. So I don't think there's a path to like the Bears winning 10, 11, 12 games or something like that. The sort of win total that really throws a quarterback into the real life MVP conversation. But I think it is pretty clear that Justin Fields, if he can throw for, you know, shoot, you throw for 3,200, 3,300 yards and rush for another 1,000 yards, and you're certainly justifying your ADP, and you're almost certainly finishing as a top five fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, he's been sacked 91 times through 2 years. It's like the most alarming number is the way to say it for sure. And yeah. I will definitely, you know, never, I don't know if this made it into the episode that we did with Justin Fields, the Eckler's Edge episode we did at the Super Bowl with him. Austin made the point, like, I've never run for 1,000 yards before, and you've run for 1,000 yards, you know, like running back, quarterback, talking to Justin Fields. And, you know, he's like, hey, maybe we'll see you do it again this year. And Justin was kind of just like, oh, God, like kind of in like, I hope not type of way. that's probably spoken, you know, like a man who's played 27 games. And on top of being sacked 91 times, he's yeah. also carried the ball like 232 times. That's a lot of punishment on a guy in a short amount of time, Andy. So I actually kind of, I think in an ideal world, they take a step back from a running him perspective. I think we even said that at times last year when you were just smashing his rushing prop on FFL every single week. It's like some of these at some point should be balanced out to like, more scrambles than designed runs, not to mention too, from a punishment perspective, like scrambles are also better, more efficient than designed quarterback runs and stuff. So how do you feel about, like, I know the DJ Moore thing is going to be good. I agree with you. He's not AJ Brown, but he's probably a top 20 receiver. And I don't think the Bears had a top 40 NFL receiver on their roster last year. And I don't think Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool, who's not gotten good off-season reviews, are going to be top 40 NFL receivers this year. And like, how good is Cole Kmet? What does his backfield look like? I think the bigger X factor in this is Luke Getsy. What do you think about Getsy as an offensive coordinator? Because I'll say me personally, I actually kind of like a lot of what they did towards the back half of the season. I kind of like the marriage of who Justin is versus also what they did in that like kind of Shanahan offshoot offense.
Yeah, my complaint about it is that it took him a while to get there. Right. Like, I just feel like that should have been the offense from the start of the season. And it was pretty clear. Like, I don't know, but every fan of the team was calling for things that they eventually got around to doing. So that was, they were a little slow and a little sluggish in that respect. But I did like, again, given the limitations of the offense, given the limitations of the offensive line and the receiving core, I like the point that they arrived at during the season. It took them a little while. I just, to underscore a point that you made about Chase Claypool, like, he is already getting a bunch of negative buzz, right? Like, there, and anytime it's midsummer and we're hearing, this is just like the time for propaganda and sunshine, yeah, and everything's great and best shape of his life and career year coming and all that. And like, we are getting very much the opposite of that on Chase Claypool, and it's lingering injuries and it's, you know, understanding of the offense and all this. I don't know to what extent it's true, but I know that I don't want to be hearing any negative details about any player like in the middle of the summer. That's, it's almost always a bad sign. So that's bad.
Yeah, that's really bad. It also kind of jives with, I think, what Fields was saying on that Eckler's Edge. Again, maybe it was off camera, it was on camera, but you know, just how complicated it was for Chase Claypool to make that transition from Matt Canada's offense to Luke Getsy's, which, like, Matt Canada's offense is a high school offense. Luke Getsy's offense is like a real more traditional, like I said, Shanahan outside zone type, you know, that whole play action pass game, like real NFL offense. But we're at a point now where he should be caught up at this point. So yeah. I like Luke Getsy. I would also say that it's very similar to like how Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen took a little bit of time to figure out in 2021, like, what do we do around Jalen Hurts? Like, they were trying to kind of run the Phillip Rivers offense with Jalen Hurts, and that did not go so well. So I'm with you, though, that I think from a real life NFL MVP standpoint, I think the Justin Fields stuff, like, that's really jumping the shark, because the rest of the Bears roster looks nothing like the Eagles 2022 roster. But right. I could squint at them and see a 2021 Eagles situation where they get to the wild card round and they get trounced by a way better team, just like Jalen Hurts got stomped on by the Bucks that year. And that was part of like the real concern of why people, you know, is this guy even a real quarterback type of that nonsense. So all things considered here, Andy, while I think he is probably the odds on favorite, do you want to push Justin Fields into one of our three finalist spots for this year's Jalen Hurts?
I think he definitely has to be a finalist. I realize that he is most people's, you know, Jalen Hurts of this season. I'm not sure I'm going to arrive at that point, but I think he certainly has to be a finalist.
I agree with you. We'll put him in as a finalist for now in pencil. Let's move on to some other quarterbacks here. I nominated Justin Herbert for this because, you know, you look at Herbert so far and he does have a great season on his record. I think people forget how good he was statistically and in real life in 2021. Guy threw for 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns, and was the QB2 in fantasy. Like, I think that might take people by surprise that he was that good just because it was so sluggish and uninspiring last year. Now, Andy, I've mentioned on our this year's Rams podcast, I did at least tepidly put some caution out there about the Chargers and just how much this whole thing could completely implode if this season does not go well based on their salary cap situation. But on the flip side, why I like only half believe that take is because I can also see a scenario where this offense really gets going this year. And Justin Herbert is, he's kind of a tough fit for this award, but it's just because he's had a bit of a strange career so far. So what do you think about Justin Herbert this season and kind of how he fits here?
Yeah, again, we don't have like firm parameters on this, but I almost feel like the fact that he's already had a 5,000 yard season and he's already finished as the overall QB2 probably exempts him from candidacy here, right? Like, he's probably disqualified because he's already been too good. But if we were to just consider where he was last year and what he was doing last year and what could arguably, be said to be underutilization of his talents last year, right? Like, this guy with a weapons grade arm who should be using it all the time. And I think, you know, coordinator change is good here. I think that's going to really yield some fruit. And I think it's going to be a better season. I think he can get back to, if not 5,000 yards, 4,800 yards and a whole batch of touchdowns. So I think we have a really good season incoming for Justin Herbert. It's just that he's already been there. It's not, you know, from that perspective, he doesn't really fit the Jalen Hurts mold.
Yeah. For context, he's ranked as the 70th overall player consensus rankings, quarterback 7. So I mean, he's behind Justin Fields, who again is 64th overall in QB6. Still, I agree. Like, I was prepared to come on the podcast and make the point like, hey, people forget how good he was in 2021, even if he really hasn't truly established himself as an elite quarterback. But then I'm actually looking at it right now, and he was a QB2 in fantasy in 2021. So I don't think we include Justin Herbert in this one. A guy that I think should belong in this conversation is third year quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence last year in fantasy was a top 10 quarterback, I think, you know, if I'm remembering correctly. I could actually look it up. Yeah, he was QB8. He did show a little bit of mobility, 62 carries, 291 yards, 5 touchdowns. Like, by the way, I think you have to do something like that to be like this type of fantasy quarterback to make this leap. You got to at least be a net positive as a scrambler to like really get this thing going here. I think Trevor Lawrence can fit into that category. We know he's having a potentially transformative receiver added to the mix here in Calvin Ridley. I think he fits a lot of our parameters here, Andy, that we're looking for.
I am really excited for the season that's incoming from Trevor Lawrence. And this is also one of those seasons where, like, I can really buy Trevor Lawrence as a sort of dark horse. I don't even know if he's a dark horse candidate, but like a real life MVP candidate. Because this is a team that they haven't done it yet over multiple seasons. And there's still, you know, the trajectory of this franchise can go a lot of different ways. But they sure seem like they're set up for success, right? They're coming off a really promising season. They basically have year-to-year continuity, and they're dropping in Calvin Ridley to it. That's great. So it kind of, you know, kind of fits what the Eagles were doing from that angle. I think the world of Trevor Lawrence's talent. I also think, and this is the big variable for him, some of his best moments as a collegiate player were actually on the ground. He can run, and he can do it really well. I don't think they want him to. I don't think that they want to expose Trevor Lawrence to a ton of hits. But, you know, you saw it when it was absolutely essential to winning football games last year. Like, when he had to run, he did it really well. Like, the Jets game late in the season, I think sloppy conditions, right, facing a really scrappy defense, 50-plus rushing yards. Like, he can give you 50 rushing yards anytime you absolutely need it. I don't think they want him running the ball like, you know, 150, 180 times a year or anything like that. But if he did, I think Trevor Lawrence could give you a 600 yard rushing season. I don't think he's going to, but, you know, can I imagine Trevor Lawrence settling in as a guy who always gives us 350 on the ground and 4 to 6 touchdowns? I definitely can, because he was great at it in college. And I think he can be great at it in the NFL. We've already seen it in flashes. And then the quality of this receiving core, what seems to be teed up for them, he can pass for 5,000 yards. Like, I don't know what it's going to be this year, but, you know, if you told me right now that Trevor Lawrence was going to pass for like 4,600 this year, that 30 touchdowns, that seems super attainable. And I would give him at least some percentage chance of a much better season than that. And now we're talking about a team that might win 10 games, win a division. He's got 30 plus touchdown passes. We're pushing 5,000. That's an MVP candidate.
I think he has a 2021 Justin Herbert type season in his range of outcomes that we were just talking about, where he throws 670 times, 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns. He's a QB2 in fantasy. You know, he gives you this is the thing that we need with Herbert, is we needed the guy, like, he did almost nothing as a rusher last year, ran for 0 touchdowns, 147 yards in 17 games. By the way, his ribs were smashed to hell. So I'm not pointing the finger at you, Justin Herbert, for this one. But, and, you know, even Herbert only ran for like 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. And I'm with you that I think Lawrence is a better scrambler, is a better, you know, guy that can kind of play on the move a little bit there. And by the way, just looking at MVP odds from BetMGM, it goes Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. You know, then you get to like Justin Herbert is plus 900, you know, Jalen Hurts plus 1,000, you know, and then plus 1,400. Trevor Lawrence is there tied with Aaron Rodgers and Tua. Oddly enough, Lamar Jackson plus 1,600. That's kind of interesting. I mean, he certainly fits in the, I would say, tier 3 of MVP favorites at this point. So there's some expectation that he has this season. And also, I don't know, we haven't mentioned the name Doug Peterson yet. Like, I think Doug Peterson and how good of a coach he is sort of gets lost in the, like, why the Jaguars offense is so good. Because, yeah, they added some dudes last year, but even those dudes, like, needed to be placed in the right position in terms of Zay Jones, even Christian Kirk, and certainly Evan Ingram. And I mean, oh boy, yeah. I mean, Doug Peterson was the guy to do it. So I think the pathway for Lawrence is so clear to, I feel like we've talked about the damn Jaguars. Like, what could go wrong? Every episode, like every positive flip the script episode, like we definitely, we talked about them from who is this year's Jaguars perspective and how good they ended up being. You know, we talked about them for the who's going to be this year's, the team that takes another step. And I think we picked them as a favorite. We talked about Calvin Ridley last episode. You and I were together, Andy. So what could go wrong? All this Jags optimism. Do you want to push? You want to push the envelope here and include Trevor Lawrence in our finalists for this award?
I think Lawrence is absolutely a finalist, has to be a finalist. Yes. Yes, I do.
God, what could go wrong? What could go wrong being this in on the Jaguars? But I think this is a credit. I do think this is a credit to Doug Peterson. It doesn't feel.
I love that you. I was just going to say, I love that you mentioned Doug Peterson because we, you know, we talked about the single position upgrade from Jalen Reagor to AJ Brown. How about the upgrade from Urban Meyer to Doug Peterson? Like that was everything that we could have hoped for and more. And we had jokes about the receiving core that they signed last offseason, right? And they got their money's worth out of Christian Kirk and Zay Jones.
Trevor Lawrence is definitely a finalist. We're going to push him into our top three for now. I want to talk about a weirder quarterback here. How about Daniel Jones? You want to talk about dark horse MVP. Andy is literally laughing. If you're not watching this on YouTube, he's already laughing. Tough times for Danny Dimes. Trey Lance is weirdly like plus 2,500 to be the MVP according to BetMGM. If I'm looking at the right numbers here, that's a little interesting. Brock Purdy plus 3,000. Daniel Jones is in this bucket of dudes that are like Jordan Love, Kenny Pickett, Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk Cousins isn't. I'll win an NFL MVP before Kirk Cousins does. Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, who's not even going to play like half the season. Daniel Jones plus 5,000 with all those guys to be the NFL MVP. He was awesome in fantasy last year. He was a QB9. He ran 700 times, 7 touchdowns. And I guess we could say there's a transformative effect, you know, with Darren Waller potentially. Is he that guy? And I don't think he's going to have an AJ Brown effect, but there's at least a case to be made where I guess Daniel Jones could be this year's Jalen Hurts. Because like I think there are scenarios where Daniel Jones is a top 4 fantasy quarterback this year.
Yeah. I'm actually like I was chuckling, but it's not really about Daniel Jones because that guy had a good year. I don't know how much more we could have expected from Daniel Jones. He clearly continued his ascent. A really clean year too, right? Like not, you know, it was really I certainly associated a lot of sloppy plays and silly mistakes with Daniel Jones like early on in his NFL career, and that like was largely absent last year. He was really good. He, you know, banged up receiving, like it wasn't a great receiving core entering the season, and it just got worse through injury, right? I don't think that they've, in fact I'm pretty sure that they haven't fully addressed that. Maybe Jalen Hyatt is more of a player than I initially think he's going to be. Like Darren Waller at this stage is certainly, in my view, not like a DJ Moore level addition to the offense. I can imagine him having a really good year, and it's just a throwaway comment to say that I think he can be a top 5 fantasy tight end. Of course I do, because there's like 20 guys who could be top 5 fantasy tight ends. It's, you know, it's a murky sort of minefield of a position, and it really only takes like half a dozen touchdowns to get there. But anyway, Darren Waller is a good player. I don't think they've made the kind of upgrades to the receiving core that Daniel Jones would need for him to make this kind of leap. But I think he should be starting in fantasy, right? Like week one. I mean, I think we should be drafting Daniel Jones as like, if you're that fantasy manager who is still committed to the idea of like just waiting until the, you know, until everybody has a quarterback before you fill the position, this should be one of your guys, because he's like, the rushing yards are absolutely going to be there. The rushing touchdowns are going to be there. And he showed us more as a passer than he ever had last year. So I think he's pretty promising. I don't think he can throw himself into the MVP conversation, but I also don't think that he should be mired with like some of the other, like, as you say, like he should not have odds that are similar to Kyler Murray, who is for sure not going to win the MVP. He deserves better than that. Like he's a good player last year.
Just looking at like consensus quarterback rankings, I think he does stick out as probably the best late round quarterback ceiling bet. He's QB 12 right now. He's like 103rd overall. I mean, you know, you're talking about like a guy that the players ahead of him. I don't think Tua has a top 5 ceiling. I don't think Deshaun Watson has a top 5 ceiling. I don't think Dak Prescott has a top 5 ceiling. Those are the guys that he's sort of around in terms of other quarterbacks, but he actually has the ability, potential to really outkick that and be a top five quarterback this year. By the way, the players he's around in the actual like overall rankings, Cortland Sutton, Gabe Davis, Brandon Cooks, Quinton Johnston, Rashad Bateman, he's the GOAT, but regardless, you know, Kirk Cousins, Juju Smith-Schuster, like these are the dudes we're talking about. Like, yeah, if we're talking about that tier of guys in rankings right now, the one who can actually make a difference for you this year, I think is Daniel Jones. But I'm a little skeptical still of the Paris Campbell, you know, I like Isaiah Hodgins. I like Darius Slayton. These are all fine NFL players. You know, Sterling Shepard, the actual GOAT, not always and forever Sterling Shepard. But this is probably not the receiver core. Even if Darren Waller, who's no sure bet, like the Eagles were betting on AJ Brown in the prime of his career, you know, right when he's at the peak of his powers. They're not doing that with Darren Waller here with the New York Giants. So I think he's worth having in this discussion. I'm kind of like skeptical on whether he should be a finalist or not, but I do think he's a great fantasy pick this year.
Yeah, I don't want to wave him through to finalist status just yet, but I want to put him in the discussion. Like, we'll get to the end of this list and we'll run through some other positions too. And I think he's under consideration for a finalist, but I'm not just giving him the green light quite yet.
Cool. We're earmarking Daniel Jones. Another guy that could certainly have the potential to make your season is Anthony Richardson from a mobile quarterback perspective. Jalen Hurts is a common comparison for Anthony Richardson, at least usage wise. He has Jalen Hurts' old offensive coordinator. He certainly fits from that standpoint. He's QB 18 in these rankings. He's 135th overall in consensus rankings. So he's certainly going to be a value. But if you're drafting with like the other, you know, not getting any sun best ball bros right now, he's in some of those drafts, he's going extremely high, much like Trey Lance once went extremely high. And I'm a guy that bought in on Trey Lance and Justin Fields starting earlier than expected in their rookie seasons. And that did not go well, especially for Trey Lance. I mean, Trey Lance still hasn't barely started any games. I will say that I am for sure Colts pilled. I love this offense. We've talked about Michael Pittman before. I like Alec Pierce a little bit. I called him on Twitter yesterday. Somebody said, I can't remember who it was. I think it might've been Jordan McNamara from, and I might be butchering your name, I'm sorry, from Football Guys, said that George Pickens is Gabe Davis without a marketing budget or marketing department. And I said, Alec Pierce is both, but with like one intern working as the entire marketing department. So translation, I like Alec Pierce a decent bit.
Actually,
I like Josh Downs.
I almost dove into that conversation and told you to go outside immediately because you don't need to be diving into a George Pickens, Gabe Davis conversation that's taking place in late June. Doesn't need to happen.
Yeah, you're right. I don't have enough on my plate right now. I should probably not be doing that. But nevertheless, Andy, I couldn't help it. And I did. I just wanted to drop an Alec Pierce crumb and then get out. So that's all. I like that. I like Alec Pierce. I like Alec Pierce. All right. And I like Michael Pittman and Josh Downs. I'm Colts pilled, Andy. But I do think Anthony Richardson probably a little aggressive saying he could be this year's Jalen Hurts as a rookie.
I think he is a great candidate to be this year's 2021 Jalen Hurts, right? Like, I think he's just at a different point in the career arc and in terms of career development. Obviously, incoming rookie. I think if he's starting right away, he's a pretty high floor quarterback, you know, because he's going to run really well. And it's going to give him a fantasy floor each week. I was just reading something and I was just, before the show, I was, you know, doing a little, quick Twitter research into Anthony Richardson at the time of, the combine.
Oh, who needs to go outside now?
Yeah, exactly. And
it
was a moment when everyone, including Richardson himself, was throwing out like Cam Newton comps. And I was just reminded at how frequently you saw that just a couple of months ago. And it just made me want to remind people of how damn good Cam Newton was in his final college season. And as a rookie in the NFL, like that, you should just slow down before you start comping people to like So like Cam Newton had just delivered what was at that point the greatest individual season in college football history, right? Like he was a perfect college quarterback, 50 plus combined touchdowns, dominant rusher, dominant passer, undefeated season. Like just stop it with comparisons to collegiate Cam Newton. Like that's just not, that's just so not appropriate. He also came into the league and threw for 4,000 yards and ran for 14 scores. Like that's out there for Anthony Richardson, who was just, he's great as an athletically, he's spectacular. The profile is fantastic, super easy to root for. I love the weapons surrounding him. He is, to like, in my view, it's a pretty low probability outcome that he could deliver a season like Cam's first season or any such thing. But again, can he give us like the 2021 Jalen Hurts where he leaves a lot of plays unmade. And at the end of the day, it's great fantasy season because he's run for 800 yards and 8 scores or something like that. And he's passed for 19 to 24 touchdowns, something like, yeah, that's a really good fantasy season. It probably doesn't make him an MVP candidate. It certainly doesn't make him a fantasy MVP candidate, but it, you know, he'll return profit. Related to like wherever you draft him in fantasy, for sure. If you can actually get him at QB 18, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I think once we officially know he's starting in week one, because like I mentioned, he is a we don't know that just yet. I am betting he does start week one because drafters are sharp. Like I said, like the best ball bros are drafting Anthony Richardson extremely aggressively right now. I bet he'll shoot up to like, I mean, again, Tua is QB 11 and he's going 100th overall. Anthony Richardson will be going higher than that if and when we know he is starting week one. He's going to be ranked higher than that. Okay, so we agree. Anthony Richardson, probably not this year's Jalen Hurts. Maybe he's last year's Jalen Hurts or two years ago.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know what I mean. Andy already said it. Okay. Andy, we're going to run through some running backs and wide receivers. But before we do, you have a dark horse quarterback that I'm apparently, allegedly going to love, and it's not Baker Mayfield. Well, you're off to a good start here that it's not Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw this out because if Dalton is listening to this, he's freaking going crazy right now because we haven't officially listed Brock Purdy as a candidate here. If Brock Purdy is actually okay to open the season, No, I'm not gonna. I'm over that. I was briefly a Trey Lance bro, but I'm over that phase of my life, and I think I've moved on to Brock Purdy. Small sample last year for sure, but a nearly perfect sample, right? I don't think it's fair to say that you can just prorate that over a full season. And all of a sudden, he's a 30 touchdown quarterback. But he was, I mean, he was reliably 2 touchdown passes per week. I don't need to convince you that the weapons that he's throwing to are incredible. They're among the best in the league. It's a team that can clearly win 12 to 14 games. And if that happens and Purdy is actually healthy opening week and he gives us 16 games, he can definitely throw his name into the MVP conversation. He does not have, you know, obviously does not have the rushing upside of many of the other guys that we're talking about. So fantasy wise, he's probably somebody who just sort of squeaks into, he doesn't even have like, I think Trevor Lawrence has pretty significant rushing upside. Purdy doesn't have that. So we're not talking about somebody who's going to be a top 5 fantasy quarterback necessarily, but can he finish as a QB1? I absolutely think he can. And can he like enter the real life MVP conversation for a minute? I bet he can.
Yeah. I mean, so Purdy last year, you know, in the Miami game is the first he saw extensive action. He threw 37 passes, 14.3 points per game, 21.7 against the Bucks. I mean, that and it, only 185 yards, but he did run for 1 touchdown, his lone rushing touchdown of the year, and he threw for 2, 16.5 points against Seattle, 16 points against Washington, 17.1 against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Arizona Cardinals week 18, kind of his one of his higher watermark games, 19.8, 3 passing touchdowns over or under 200 yards. So, yeah, he definitely doesn't have the rushing upside for this at all. 22 carries for 13 yards for Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
He does. I think his like creation mode has gone a little under discussed because he's definitely better than that, like better than Jimmy Garoppolo, like when it comes to like the creation mode stuff, but not really as a scrambler. He's going to kind of rework his platform to fire downfield. Andy, look at you, buddy. You slammed, I mean, slammed Brock Purdy and like slapped Dalton verbally in the face when he would even get himself mildly excited about the idea of Purdy starting when Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. Look at you. Now you're like, he could be this year's Jalen Hurts.
That's why I'm just trying to toss a Valentine to Dalton here. I grew to appreciate Brock. I mean, we're like a year and a half or something removed from Brock Purdy getting pulled from a game against Iowa because he could not stop throwing interceptions. Like where he has come as a player is it's just phenomenal. And it's tribute to him. It's tribute to the Niners coaching staff, obviously. But that is really something because no part of me thought that I was watching a pro and I saw a fair amount of Brock Purdy in college. I never once thought I was watching a pro, and he was just terrific last year.
Like, yeah, his best fantasy scenario here is probably Kirk Cousins, who was QB7 last year.
Yeah.
He threw for 4,500 yards, 29 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, and you know, he ran 31 times for 97 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, Kirk can scramble and scoot out of the pocket a little bit here and there, but that's probably like his fantasy ceiling, which I'm proud of you for nominating him, but I don't think is a finalist here.
No, I just wanted the name out there. And I wanted to ease Dalton. Surely if Dalton is watching this or listening to it, he was going crazy right up until then.
Let's hope so. Let's hope we gave Dalton something to be excited about there. All right, let's talk some other positions here, and we can go a little faster with these. I'll throw out these running backs that I thought fit the parameters to be this year's Jalen Hurts in a sense of like they can be a solid fantasy player who becomes an elite fantasy player by the end of the year. Tony Pollard, Ramondre Stevenson, Breece Hall, and the one I believe the least is Damian Pierce, but I did think he was worth mentioning because he's just not really highly ranked right now. Damian Pierce, he's 45th overall, 20 running back 21. He seems like a great pick there. And I mean, if he goes, I think the Texans offense has to be really, really good, but he could go completely crazy this year if that offense is really, really good. My favorite candidate is the first guy, which is Tony Pollard. I mean, bro, Tony Pollard is... he's going high. He's 14th overall ranked player. He's the ninth ranked running back. I mean, dude, I know, like, I think Dallas should just add Zeke again if Zeke is able to, like, stomach the fact that he'd come back and be a role player. They could add Leonard Fournette. I don't know. They could add Dalvin Cook, I guess. But as long as it's not somebody, I mean, as long as it's not Dalvin Cook, like, anybody they add right now, I would still think Pollard has a chance to be, even if he's not a complete running back and he's not going to be, like, a short yardage guy, whatever. I think he still has a chance to be like literally the running back one. Like the running back one overall is within his range of outcomes in fantasy this year if the Cowboys are a good team.
He is when I realized that we were going to open this up to positions outside of quarterback, he's the first name that came to mind. I guess you could argue that he's probably getting drafted in the second round right now, right? So maybe he's getting drafted a bit high for Jalen Hurts status, but also relative to other players at his position, he's kind of down the ranks a bit. There's just simply no question that if enough workload falls his way and he is fully healthy and operational and ready to go early in the season, he can absolutely finish as a top three, top one fantasy running back. Like that is absolutely on the table for him. He was sensational last year. He's been sensational on a per touch basis his entire career. Kind of an open question as to whether, you know, I don't know that he needs 300 touches. If he were going to have the sort of season that actually got him like the NFL offensive player of the year, right? Like he's not going to win the MVP, but if he were to have an offensive player of the year sort of season, he'd probably have to get to, you know, 280, 320 touches to do it. He would have to give us 2000 scrimmage yards, but that's, I don't know if that all came together. It's, like I can see it. You can see it when you watch Tony Pollard, like have a big game, you can absolutely see that outcome.
Yeah. I mean, he's been great, as a role player, so far in his career. It is kind of funny that like, you know, fantasy Twitter has been dying for this moment for Tony Pollard. It's like, second round pick seems fine. You actually would have expected him to be going ahead of like Travis Kelce or, you know, like Jonathan Taylor for God's sakes. He's just one of my favorite picks right now. In the second round, he can easily give you, like, if you take a receiver in the first and you're able to come back and take Tony Pollard in the second round. I think, he has running back one overall upside. What about Ramondre Stevenson, though? Ramondre Stevenson, I think, is also probably worth this discussion, as is Breece Hall. Hall is just like, is he going to be healthy for the entire season? Otherwise, he definitely has running back one overall ceiling. With Stevenson, I guess, it's just, I know this isn't always the correct take, but for me, it's like, I don't love the Patriots offense. Shout out to Devontae Parker for getting paid. Didn't have that one on my bingo card. Didn't see that one coming, but he got a big contract. We'll talk about that more so in July. But Ramondre Stevenson, he's playing on the Patriots offense. I don't think the Patriots offense is going to be that good. That always kind of skeeves me out with fantasy running backs.
Yep, that's my problem. I think the Patriots probably end up averaging, I don't know, 20 points a game. I don't think there's a path here for Ramondre Stevenson to have. Like, I think he can have a great year. I think he can be a fantasy difference maker, all that. I don't think there's a path for him to have, you know, the kind of season that I just described for Pollard, right? I don't think Stevenson is giving us 2,000 scrimmage yards. I don't think we're getting 16 touchdowns from Ramondre. And that's, not really a reflection on him necessarily as a talent. I think if we were talking about, like, I don't know, the Patriots of like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and Ramondre Stevenson was in that situation, I would be super bullish on him. We would all be super bullish on him. But the, you know, current era, Mac Jones era Patriots with the receiving core as it looks right now at this minute, I'm not seeing it. I've got Stevenson in some dynasty leagues. I'm pretty bullish on him generally, but I don't think he can enter this conversation. I love, by the way, that you put Damian Pierce in here. Maybe this is just a case where, like, the fact that he missed games at the end of last season, we've, you know, out of sight, out of mind, but he was awesome last year. Stylistically, this is my kind of guy, right? Like, I don't know if he's going to have like a 10-year NFL career running like that, but I do think that we could see a peak from Damian Pierce. Maybe his peak is now, right? In the next two or three seasons, where he gives us a couple of really stellar fantasy campaigns, and it is, again, like, aesthetically, stylistically, it is just a blast to experience.
I could see it being Stroud's second year, probably, but I think he could have a really great year, and he could be in sort of that, like, Tony Pollard, Ramondre Stevenson range, where he's running back 9 or 10, you know, which both those guys are expert consensus ranked, and like, we're talking about him as like, he actually has a running back over one overall upside, like, if he hits. So any of these running backs compel you enough to push them into the finalist group here?
I think Pollard is, I need some more time to marinate on this Pollard versus Daniel Jones decision. I think Pollard I'm probably most tempted to wave him into the finalist club.
I agree with you. So I'll take some time here to just, I got to stick, you know, as the leading lobbyist for big receiver, I have to talk two wide receivers here. I do think receivers are more long shots for this discussion, because they probably have to have like a Justin Jefferson type season to be, you know, to outkick their ADP to such a degree that we're talking about them as like this year's Jalen Hurts, like a fantasy MVP type. Now there are two guys I think that I can make the case for. One is going at, is ranked wide receiver 9. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. St. Brown is a great player, and I think he is just in a perfect situation to produce. There are holes in his game, right? He's not the downfield player that you would ideally want, but he took a big jump. Talked about this with reception perception, took a big jump in his ability to beat man coverage after being a great zone beater in both of his first two seasons. If he takes another leap as a player, I can't get off the fact that the Lions don't have enough good pass catchers around him, especially in the first 6 weeks of the season without Jameson Williams. By the way, Jameson Williams, we don't even know if he's a good player at this point. Like, he could have a Cooper Kupp type season where he's just always open. He has Jared Goff, who just loves this type of receiver. Like, if he, you know, if he caught 130 balls, you know, next year, and he could score 10 touchdowns, right? Everybody except Jamal Williams was so unlucky inside the 5-yard line last year. And Amon-Ra St. Brown is chief among those dudes. Like, if he goes for 130, 140 catches, and he catches 10 touchdowns, he's going to be like a top 5 fantasy receiver. And I think that's pretty well within his range of outcomes. He can be like a top 3 guy, even if he's not as exciting. And the other guy I would mention is Chris Olave, who, I mean, is a stone cold stud. Olave, I think, actually kind of is on that Justin Jefferson trajectory. That sounds like a hot take, but I mean, he was so good as a rookie. There is there's minimal target competition here, but there's also just enough that, like, just as it was in Minnesota last year, defenses had to respect TJ Hockenson, especially when he got there. And even if Adam Thielen is a player that is, you know, severely in decline, he's not like a nobody, you know. KJ Osborne can sort of make plays. In New Orleans, maybe Michael Thomas is this year's Adam Thielen for them. You know, you've got Rashid Shaheed, I think, who could be a really good player. Juwan Johnson, Foster Moreau. They've got some running backs there. And Derek Carr is good enough to feed Chris Olave like a top level fantasy season. You know, even if he's got some holes in his game, for sure. So those are the two receivers I think that I could see aren't being drafted, aren't being ranked inside the top like five receivers, but could easily have like a wide receiver one, maybe not easily, but like I can envision a wide receiver one overall season for those two guys, which I think makes them at least belong in this conversation, all bias admitted, as the lead lobbyist for big receiver.
Well, you know, the thing that we always need to be on the lookout for now, in addition to, like, now it's, we're talking about how it now seems like there's a Jalen Hurts story every year, right? It's Josh Allen, it's Lamar Jackson. We have a few recent examples, Cooper Kupp being one of them, Stephon Diggs being the other one, in like the big breakout seasons, where these were guys that were certainly not going, you know, round three, round four, right? Like, you could get them in round five, round six. You were drafting them like in that RB dead zone range. Amon-Ra St. Brown isn't there, but Olave is getting, he's pretty close to it, right? Like, he's down the ranks just a bit, and Chris Olave in round five is not, would not seem like a shocking thing in a fantasy draft right now. Probably my favorite.
He's the 28th overall, like 28th ranked player overall. So he is pretty up there. But again, I think that's drafters sort of being sharp of, like you said, we've seen the wide receiver one overall, like that type of player come from that range, like come from that round five range. So I think I think people are seeing what I'm seeing here with Chris Olave.
I think the most encouraging thing about Olave last year, in addition to like him just being ready to thrive in the NFL, was it was just like a no training wheels season for him, right? Like they asked a lot of Olave, and his, you know, it's reflected in like that an average depth of target over like 14 yards, right? Like he was, you know, he was the air yards king for quite a while there. Some of that stuff hits with Derek. With Derek Carr, a quarterback who's already given us like a 4,800 yard passing, but whatever you think of Derek Carr, he can drive an offense that produces a whole bunch of fantasy points and multiple viable fantasy receivers. He's done it. He's had a 4,800 yard season. It was just a couple of years ago he led a team to the playoffs, had a 4,800 yard season in like a weird disaster of a year for the Raiders. So like, if he gets back to being that guy, now you're talking about, I don't know, can Chris Olave give us 1,400 yards? Like, I would say that's within his range of outcomes. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown a ton, and I don't think it's crazy to think that he could catch 120 or 130 passes. And he's so well paired with this quarterback, and he is so clearly the number one option there. Shout out to Sam Laporta, number two option there. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown could definitely have that season. I think he's probably a bit high in the ranks. It probably excludes him from this conversation. But as somebody who could still, even though we're taking him as a top 10 receiver right now, who could still dramatically outperform that, I think he does belong in that discussion.
Yeah, there's just not. I mean, it's tough with like a candidate from that range that we were talking about, like the round five range. You know, the receiver 18 to 26 or something that I think has a true top five ceiling. But again, I wouldn't have necessarily said that about Cooper Kupp before. I wouldn't have necessarily said that about like Debo Samuel before when he had a monster season in 2021. So, all right, Andy, decision time, dude. Does Tony Pollard, Chris Olave, any of these guys compel you enough to not have Daniel Jones be among our three finalists?
Yeah. Fields and Lawrence, obvious finalists. I feel like Daniel Jones fits the fits the weird sort of general ambiguous parameters that I have in my head a little bit better than Tony Pollard. I obviously love Tony Pollard. I think he was a great inclusion on this list, but I probably want Daniel Jones in as a finalist, but I'm not going to fight you too hard if you want it to be Pollard.
I don't care. So we do Daniel Jones. Those are our three finalists, I feel like we're having a conversation here.
For who I'm going to ultimately put third on my list anyway.
Yeah, I know. That's another thing, too. We've done this before. I let Dalton on the last episode include Rashad Penny as the fourth option, just to met like which totally messed up the voting entirely. So, you know what? I don't care anymore. The series is basically over. I've got senioritis. I'm ready to be on vacation on July 4th. Who cares? I'm out here on Twitter talking about Alec Pierce's, you know, the no marketing budget George Pickens. So what do I care about anything anymore? All right. In that case, let's vote. We've got three guys here in terms of who's going to be this year's Jalen Hurts. This is a non-elite fantasy quarterback now that is going to take the jump into elite fantasy quarterback realm. Andy, I'll go first here. And I'll say my 1-2-3 is Trevor Lawrence. Number one, and just I'll go ahead and say that, I kind of like Daniel Jones a little bit better than Justin Fields. Is that gross to say?
That's kind of gross. Yeah,
it's pretty gross. It's a little to gross, say, but I'll go. I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones, Justin Fields, 1-2-3.
Wow. That's a little bit spicier than what I'm about to deliver. Although I feel guilty about this, because, you know, the outcome that I am rooting for here is that Justin Fields is clearly the Jalen Hurts of last season. If I had to bet on it, it's Trevor Lawrence for me, and I feel terrible as a lifelong Bears fan saying that. But I'm going to go Lawrence, Fields, Jones. Fields is obviously a perfect fit here, for reasons that we've discussed previously. I just think in terms of every box that you'd want to see checked, if we're talking about the Jalen Hurts potential season, I have to include, like, are you a real life MVP candidate too? And I can see it with Trevor Lawrence. Like, I definitely think that can happen. And I don't think the Bears can have enough success this year to put Justin Fields into that conversation. I think Fields himself can clearly have a top three fantasy season. You know, if Justin Fields were to run for 1,200 yards and pass for 3,600, whatever, like, I think that's definitely a possibility for him. And that's going to be a top three fantasy season, man. I think Lawrence can have a 5,000 yard passing season, a 4,800 yard passing season, 30 plus touchdowns. He's not going to be a zero as a rusher because he's a really good runner. I think he throws himself not only into the fantasy MVP conversation, but also, and he's cheaper right now than Fields as well. He throws himself into the real life MVP conversation too.
Yeah, I think I did the Daniel Jones thing just to be different because I knew you were going to have Fields too. So I think don't at me, okay, about the Daniel Jones thing.
Daniel Jones is really good last year. Like, there's a lot to feel good about if you're a Giants fan. I don't know. Maybe you end up, you know, sort of trapped in the Matt Schaub zone with Daniel Jones, but I don't think so. Like, that was a really fun season, and you have every reason to feel like you have somebody who can, you know, is an ascending talent. Who, if you ever land like the big fish at receiver, right now you've really got something.
And he's out here living his best life. Right now he's like on stage with Zach Bryan, yeah, you know, up there in New York. Like, dude, whatever you think about Daniel Jones, he's doing better than you. Okay. He's doing better than me. He's doing better than Andy. He's doing better than all of us. All right. That dude is
for sure.
Rich as shit. He's on stage with Zach Bryan. He's like raging right now. I mean, yo, we could all aspire to be Daniel Jones. So,
100%.
I'm happy that I at least gave him, you know, second. Well, I gave him silver. Okay. Whatever. Who cares? So in conclusion, Trevor Lawrence is this year's Jalen Hurts, which from a synergy standpoint, Andy, corpo word, synergy makes sense because we named the Jaguars as this year's Eagles. So that all ties together there. And again, what could possibly go wrong with the Jacksonville Jaguars being this year's Eagles and Trevor Lawrence as this year's Jalen Hurts, like second to Patrick Mahomes in MVP voting, as everybody basically will always be forever now at this point, and a clear cut breakout star in real life and fantasy. What could go wrong?
Nothing could go wrong. Man, that was really well tied up. I love the tying together of multiple episodes. That's another reason why the condo sessions have just been an enormous success. I almost feel like you shouldn't leave. You're probably ready to leave. I almost feel like you shouldn't leave. At a minimum, we should take those closet doors, send them straight to Canton. This has been a great series of shows.
All right. Well, I'm with you. We'll knock the doors off. I didn't do any of the chores my mom wanted me to do around this condo while she was back in Florida getting treatment. So, if I just take her doors off, who cares? I'm sure she won't be displeased about that. But yeah, I'm ready to get out of the condo. Ready to not be sitting on this folding chair anymore. I don't think my ass can take it at this point anymore. So next time you see me, I promise you, listener and viewer, I will not be in front of these doors, but I probably will be with Andy Behrens on the next episode of this podcast. Fingers crossed, Andy. I appreciate you, buddy. Appreciate all of your wisdom. And all the nice things about the condo, I guess. I appreciate that as well, even though, yeah, I'm ready to get the hell out of here. But I appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy the 4th of July holiday.
You as well. Hopefully next time we get together, we actually have some breaking NFL news to discuss. And some of these players that are just sitting around talking to teams, not signing, hopefully they get employers pretty soon.
I mean, yeah, I guess. That would be great. All right. That's going to do it for the show. Again, we're off next week. Hope you all get out there and enjoy some fun time around the holiday. While we're out, be sure to go back and listen to any of the Flip the Script episodes that you have missed. They're pretty evergreen, so no hesitation. If you just can't get enough of me, which, dude, please. I think you people who listen to this podcast have more than enough me. But if you do want more episodes, go back and listen to those. In the meantime, we'll see you on the other side. We're out.